Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you again. And I want to start out by saying thank you to you for your prayers and for your financial support of RUF International. It is a privilege to be there and to get to bring Christ's welcome to people from the nations and to point them to Christ, bringing the Word of God to them so that they can hear and trust the Savior Christ. For those of you who are here this morning, who maybe, you know, you're curious as to who Jesus is, or maybe you're skeptical. Does Jesus care about me? I want to say a special welcome to you. Welcome. Around you are people who know the Lord Christ. And so if you have questions about what you hear today, what you've seen, about what you've heard, I encourage you to find an elder, find people around you and ask them, hey, what's going on? Tell me more about this. Our passage for the sermon this morning is Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. So if you would, turn there in your Bibles, if you have them, in your Bible app, if you use that. And give attention to the reading of God's word. As he drew near to Jericho, and this is Jesus, as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Please pray with me. Almighty God in heaven, we give you thanks for your word. We ask now that you will give us understanding, that you will work in our hearts by your Spirit, that you will grow in us a greater love for you, greater loyalty to you, and that you will increase our love for those who are around us. Father, have mercy on us for the sake of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. About 9 years ago, somebody posted this video on YouTube. And in this video, they show this plaza in Madrid, Spain. And you see this man walk up, and he has large, scruffy, scraggly beard, mustache, hair unkempt. He's kind of in sweats, but he brings this soccer ball with him, and he has like a little leash with the dog, and he brings this box for donations. And he puts the box down, leaves the dog by a chair, and then he pulls out the soccer ball, and he starts to kick the soccer ball around. And he's trying to get people in the plaza involved. And he's like, so he kicks them to people, and like, a lot of people seem very like hesitant, like to kick it back to him. And so he does like these tricks, and so he's starting to juggle the ball, and you can tell that he has great touch, and that he has some of these really difficult like juggling tricks and things. So eventually, there's this young boy that is willing to kick the ball back and forth with him, and they kick the ball back and forth, and they'll play keep away. He tells the little boy, like, you know, try to get the ball from me. He's like, okay, let me see what you got. And the ball, the boy kicks the ball back to him eventually. And he picks up the ball. He pulls out a Sharpie, and he starts to sign the ball. And he hands the ball to this young boy, and then he pulls off this fake beard, this like wig and mustache. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of this plaza in Madrid, Spain, everybody realizes that this is Ronaldo, who is one of the world's best soccer players of all time, right? And so everybody's like, oh, and phones come out, this crowd gathers around, and now all of a sudden everybody's wanting like to play and everything. But like he has like some security there, and they kind of lead him away, and like there's this crowd that's following after Ronaldo. And in this video, the people in the plaza definitely respond to Ronaldo differently when they recognize him, right? They're like, oh, this is Ronaldo. And so this is also what happens in our passage today. When people recognize Jesus and who he is, they interact with him differently than when they don't have his full understanding of who he is. And so for our passage today, we're going to look at this using three questions. One, why do you need to cry out? Two, how are you to cry out? And three, to whom are you to cry out? Why, how, and to whom? Why do you need to cry out? Some of you might be thinking like, well, isn't it obvious? Well, sometimes we try to kind of push away the need to cry out. But we all face challenges. We all face physical challenges. We experience illness and disease. We face challenges in providing for our families. And eventually, we'll all face death. We face social and relational challenges. Our social groups have a pressure to conform. And depending on what your social group is, that may be in a way that is seeking to follow Jesus, or that could also be to pull you away from following Jesus. We often have conflict with people, and many times it's conflict with people we love. And so we have challenges. Socially, we also have challenges of maintaining our reputation or our face. We want to avoid shame. We want to grow our reputation. We want people to think of us as having influence and power and to have wisdom. Or at least we want them to think that we have those things, even if we don't. And we also face spiritual challenges. We face temptations in following the Lord. Depending on kind of how you're built and wired and what you value in life, there are various different things in which we are tempted as people to try to get life out of. So here in the DC area, a lot of people, they struggle with the idea of like, I need to be competent. I need to be successful. I want people to think well of me. And so through professional success, success with the family, we try to make everything right. And so people will look highly upon us. And these are not just social things, but these are also spiritual challenges, in that they are trying to get from these created things what only God can provide. Only God can truly give us ultimate meaning, ultimate purpose, and only he can ultimately give us life. And we also face the spiritual challenge of doubt. Just like our first parents, we face the temptation, the challenge of we doubt God's goodness often. We face these challenges and we are quick to forget God's goodness to us. And so maybe you're facing today the challenge of loving those around you. Maybe you're facing the burden of having people that are dear to you that do not know Christ. And that weighs you down. And that's a challenge. And maybe you're feeling the weight of your own sin. That even as you're seeking to follow Jesus, you still fall short in many ways. You're seeking to grow in holiness, seeking to follow Christ, to love him more. And yet, a recurring sin continues to show up. Maybe you're feeling today the challenge of waiting for a new pastor and going through the pastor nominating process. We all face challenges. And in our passage today, We hear about a man who was blind. So he's facing a physical challenge of being blind. He can't see. Mark 10 identifies him as Bartimaeus. And so I like calling people by their name, so I'm going to say Bartimaeus most of the time versus the blind man. Hope that doesn't bother anybody. But Bartimaeus was blind. He's sitting by the road, and he's facing this physical challenge of blindness. And he's also facing the challenge of how to provide for himself and for his family. And so he's out by the roadside begging. And begging by the roadside, he's relying upon God's work and other people to cause them to be generous, to give, so that he could eat. And Bartimaeus is also facing some social challenges, right? He is not wealthy. He is not powerful or influential in this community. So much so that when he heard that Jesus was passing by and he cries out to Jesus for Jesus to have mercy upon him, there are those in the crowd that are trying to silence him, telling him to be silent, effectively they're saying like, hush, nobody wants to hear from you. And so he's also facing these social challenges. But even though he's facing the challenge of people trying to silence him, he cries out all the more. He cried out to Jesus. And so, we see that because we face challenges, you need to cry out to Jesus, right? You need to cry out to Jesus because you face challenges. But that brings us to our second question. So, not only do we need to cry out to Jesus because we face challenges, but how are we to cry out to Jesus? How are we to call upon Jesus? After hearing that it was Jesus who was passing by, Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so I want you to note here the difference that has happened. The crowd tells Bartimaeus that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. But how does Bartimaeus cry out? He doesn't cry out with, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. No, there's something that Bartimaeus has heard. Maybe he's met Jesus before. He doesn't say, Jesus of Nazareth. No, he says, Jesus, Son of David. And so he's crying out to Jesus. So Bartimaeus had heard of or seen Jesus before. So he's saying, Jesus, Son of David. And Bartimaeus is asking for help. He's calling out for mercy. Now, you might be thinking, he's a beggar. This is part of his job. And you're right. Like, this is part of his job. Like, he's here by the road to beg. This is him trying to provide for himself. And so he's calling out, have mercy on me. He's calling out for people who pass by to give charity so that he can eat, so he can take care of himself. Like we mentioned, there are people here that are trying to silence him. And we don't necessarily know why they're trying to keep him quiet, why they're trying to keep him from crying out to Jesus. There's this crowd that's going along with Jesus. And so part of this may be that people are like, hey, Bartimaeus, you're creating a disturbance. Jesus is this great teacher. We want to hear him as he's walking and talking. That could be a reason why people are trying to silence Bartimaeus, because he's creating a commotion, right? It could also be that some of the people are getting a little nervous, because when Bartimaeus cries out, Son of David, that has some connotations that go along with it. It's not just, hey, give me some money so I can go buy bread. It has larger implications to it. But for whatever reason, the people in the crowd try to silence Bartimaeus. But instead, what it says is Bartimaeus cries out all the more. And so, I like to think that Bartimaeus, kicks the voice into that. You know, he kind of, just turns up the volume a little bit, maybe just a little bit more volume, effort. So, hey, even though you're trying to keep me silent, I'm still going to cry out to Jesus. And so even in the face of opposition, Bartimaeus persists. We see persistence in Bartimaeus in crying out. And that he was also crying out without shame. He knew he had great need. And because of his great need, he is willing to go past people trying to keep him quiet, go past the, okay, you've asked for alms politely, now kind of move on. He keeps crying out to Jesus. Bartimaeus persistently and shamelessly cried out to Jesus because he believed that Jesus could and would show him mercy. Bartimaeus is a real-life example of what Jesus was teaching about prayer in Luke 11 and earlier in Luke 18. You might remember in Luke 11, Jesus is telling his disciples like to pray, and he gives this example of this man who has friends that come to him in the middle of the night, and he doesn't have any food to put out, right? And culturally, to have visitors come by and have no bread or no food to share with this guest is a horrible, it's a horrible thing. And so this man goes to his neighbor, goes to his friend. And I think if we had somebody that showed up at our house modern day like this, we think our friend is being a little obnoxious. You know, the lights are off. We are in bed. We're trying to sleep. And like there's this knock. Maybe this would be like repeated text messages and calls. And like you're going to put your phone on silent, do not disturb, and all this. And then they come to the door and start knocking. And if you have a dog, your dog barks. But like this friend is going like, he's like, I need bread. And it's like, no. I'm in bed with the children. Like, I can't get up. It's like, no, I need bread. And he keeps on until eventually his friend gets up and gives him bread. Or here in Luke 18, where there's this widow and she's looking for justice and there's this judge who's corrupt and is not giving it to her. And so what does she do? She keeps coming back day after day after day to the point that this judge, even though it says he does not fear God, he doesn't really care about justice, but he makes a decision. He's like, this widow is wearing me out. I'm going to go ahead and give her justice so she stops coming to me. And Jesus is telling these stories not to say that God is like the friend who won't get up or isn't like the unjust judge, but to show the attitude of persistence in coming to God with our needs. So Bartimaeus is this real-life example of these things. Bartimaeus knew he needed help, and he was persistent in asking, and he was not too proud to ask for the Lord's mercy. This might be something for us. I already mentioned this some. In this area of the world, this area of the United States, we love success, competency, efficiency. That doesn't mean everybody, that's like your strong point, but as in general, as a culture, this area, we love those things, right? And so because of that, we'll often have trouble asking for help. A lot of times it's easier for us to say, you know what? I'm just going to push through. I'm going to make this work. Instead of asking for help. Whether that means instead of asking God for help, or instead of asking like coworkers, family members, other people around us for help. We're just slow to ask for help. And so that's something that in general, as a culture, we need to repent of. We need to be willing to admit that there's a bit of pride in our hearts that keeps us from asking for help from the Lord and from others. And so when we face needs and when we face challenges, we are to cry out in faith, with persistence, and without shame. And so this brings us to our third question. Our third question this morning is, to whom are you to cry out? To whom are you to cry out? Just as I alluded to at the beginning of the sermon, who you are interacting with affects greatly in how you interact with that person. In the video, when everybody thought Ronaldo was maybe somebody who wasn't a famous footballer or wasn't well off, they're like, I'm not sure if I really want to kick the ball with this guy. But once the beard and the wig came off, they're like, oh, this is Ronaldo. All of a sudden, everybody wants to like take pictures and come up close and like kick the ball with Ronaldo. And so another example of this is me personally. I spend a lot of time with international students on campus. And depending on who I'm interacting with will affect how I interact with this person. Some people, some students I see, they get hugs because they want hugs when they greet. Some people I will stay a good 6 to 8 feet apart from. Because, like, if I came near, if I tried to shake a hand, they'd be like, whoa, please do not touch. This is culturally inappropriate. And so who I'm meeting, who I'm interacting with, affects how we interact. That can go with things from their culture, language skills, their interests, where are they spiritually. All these things have to have an effect on how we interact with one another. Another might be this. If you're interacting, like, I can see the doors right through the back. And say somebody comes through the doors after the service is over, and they're saying, and they come up to you and they say hi, you're going to interact with that person very differently if that person is 5 years old or if that person is 55 years old, right? It's just a different interaction. And so who we're talking with, who we're interacting with, makes a difference. The crowd told Bartimaeus that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, but he cries out, "Son of David." And I said Son of David had implications, right? It has a connotation that goes along with it, because Son of David is a messianic title. This is one of the titles in the Old Testament that points to the Messiah. And the Messiah is God's chosen and anointed one. And so when Bartimaeus calls out Son of David, it brings to mind the idea of the Messiah. And so some people were trying to keep Bartimaeus quiet because maybe he's interrupting Jesus' teaching. But it could also be because they were worried about him using this title. Remember, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and by using the title Son of David, it brings up the idea of the Messiah. And many people at this time had the idea of a Messiah as being a mighty conquering king. And so there's this large crowd going with Jesus. And so, like, there could be this fear that Jesus is leading a large group of people into Jerusalem to lead a revolt. And if people are trying to keep peace in the area, they might be like, whoa, Bartimaeus, let's calm down here. Let's calm down. But by using the title Son of David, Bartimaeus is saying that he believes something about Jesus that the people when he asked who was passing by aren't necessarily believing at this time. Bartimaeus believes that Jesus is the Messiah. And so even though people tried to silence Bartimaeus, Jesus heard him. Jesus heard Bartimaeus. Jesus has Bartimaeus brought near. And Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And this is a big question, right? Because Bartimaeus calling out to people saying, "Have mercy on me," he probably does this tens, hundreds of times a day as people walk by. "Have mercy on me." And so Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Does Bartimaeus want a coin for bread, or does he want something more? And so Bartimaeus he confirms his confession when he's saying, Jesus, son of David, because he brings out a big ask. He's like, let me recover my sight. Restore my sight to me. You know, if Bartimaeus is like, hey, I'd like a coin for some bread. Okay, no problem. You can pull out the purse, grab a coin, hand the man a coin. Fairly easy, right? If you have that coin, you can hand it to him. There is not a purse that people can just open up and pull out sight and say, Bartimaeus, there you go. There's your sight. Right? Asking for sight is a big request. And it shows that Bartimaeus actually believes that Jesus is the Messiah, that he actually is the son of David. Because as we read earlier, as Steve read from Isaiah 35, it says this, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Bartimaeus realizes that he is dealing with somebody more than just a good teacher, a great teacher. He's dealing with more than a rabbi. He's dealing more than just Jesus of Nazareth. He is dealing with Jesus, the son of David, who is the Messiah. Bartimaeus is crying out to Jesus in faith that Jesus is the Messiah. He can restore his sight. So Jesus responds to Bartimaeus by saying, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately, Bartimaeus' sight was restored to him. He could see. He could see. Bartimaeus could see again because Jesus worked this miracle. And when Jesus does this miracle and restores Bartimaeus' sight to him, he also confirms to Bartimaeus and everybody there that Bartimaeus is right. That he is the Messiah. He is the son of David. And he has come to do amazing things. As amazing as this miracle is in restoring sight to Bartimaeus, he has many more wonderful things that he is going to do. Bartimaeus received his sight back. He's glorifying God. The crowd see that Jesus gave sight back to Bartimaeus. And then they're praising God because of this miracle. Jesus was going to do greater things than this. As the Messiah, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And if you look right before our passage today, in Luke 18:31, Jesus told the 12 that they were on their way to Jerusalem and that everything that was written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to lay down his life as a sacrifice to ransom his people and atone for their sins. Just as was prophesied about Jesus in Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. In Luke 18:32 and 34, Jesus tells his disciples that he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, that he will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. All those things that were prophesied about the Messiah, about the Son of Man, about the Son of David in the Old Testament, they will be accomplished. They will be accomplished. And Jesus finishes up his instruction to his disciples there by saying, And on the third day, he will rise. He won't just be killed. He won't just lay down his life as a sacrifice, but he will rise again on the third day. Jesus healing Bartimaeus is based on who Jesus is. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the mighty God. And he brings his power with him and works mighty miracles. And he told Bartimaeus, "Your faith has made you well." In Greek, these words that are translated, "Your faith has made you well," could also be translated as, "Your faith has saved you." But regardless of how you translate this, Jesus is pointing to a whole person healing and saving. Bartimaeus interacting with Jesus here has completely changed Bartimaeus. And not just because he has his sight now. But Bartimaeus is a changed man. He is glorifying God and following Jesus. But this wasn't just about physical healing. Bartimaeus had the faith to be healed. He had the faith to be saved, to follow Jesus, and to praise God. And because of who Jesus is, I'm going to encourage you that this week, as you experience your needs, as you face challenges day by day, you may face those individually, you may face them as a family, as a church congregation, but I encourage you to cry out to Jesus for mercy, because he is merciful and he is gracious. In the face of discouragement, opposition, maybe people trying to keep you silent, maybe things aren't going your way, when you have setbacks, when you encounter sin again, and when you have long nights of praying for those that you love, praying for them that God will give them a new heart, cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus for mercy, for yourself, for your friends, for your family. Cry out to Jesus. And for those of you who are here or watching that might be skeptical of Jesus, and whether that he cares for you or not, or whether that he's good, or whether that he's powerful enough to change things, I say to you, look to the proofs that he's given. He has shown his love and power. Cry out to Jesus. Jesus died so that his mercy can flow to you. Jesus rose on the third day, victorious over death and Satan. And he calls you to come to him. And he will never cast out those who come to him. Friends, brothers, sisters, cry out to Jesus, the Son of David. Remember that he loves you, that he hears you, that he has mercy to help. Remember that he laid down his life for you, and that Jesus has promised to be with you even to the end of the age. Please pray with me. Oh Jesus, we ask that you will have mercy upon us. Draw us near to yourself and comfort us. You know the many challenges and trials that we face. You know the many struggles that we face that we have not shared with others. And yet you still know our weakness and our need, and you love us still. You know where we have failed, where we have failed to love you or love our neighbors. You know the burdens we carry. We need your grace. We need your mercy, and we need you, our great prophet, our priest, and our king. We ask that your Spirit will work in us, drawing us to yourself, helping us to rest and rely upon you for our salvation and for our life day by day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.